The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In case you didn't know it, 2018's almost over. How do you feel about that? Are you excited about a new year coming, or are you kind of sad that this year is about to end? A couple questions for you. Ask yourselves, this time last year, what goals did I have for myself? Were they accomplished? Realized? What do I see in 2019? What can make 2019 a good year for me? Those are questions we always tend to ask and hopefully ask at this time each year when the year is about to end. I heard someone say, "My New Year's resolution is to stop hanging out with people who keep asking me about my New Year's resolutions." And then there's the guy who said, "I raised my left leg before the ball dropped so I could start the new year off on the right foot." There's always a lot of concerns and anticipations, aren't there, when a new year is about to start? Our gospel reading had part of the lesson, but I'm going to have you pick up the pew Bibles in front of you, a little red book that says Holy Bible on it, and turn to page 831. And when you have it, look up so I know you've got it. 831. Okay. On the top right, you see where we're starting with the text on the birth of Jesus was foretold. That was what we heard this morning. The angel Gabriel came to Mary. Then Mary visits Elizabeth. We had that a few weeks ago. Mary's song of praise, that beautiful prayer she sings. The birth of John the Baptist. Zechariah's prophecy at the top right on 833, chapter 2, the birth of Jesus, 833, the shepherds and the angels. And then in verse 21, it says, "After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The angel Gabriel told Mary what the baby was going to be named." Today, we recognize the naming of Jesus. This is his day of remembrance for that. And today is more, as we know, more than the anticipation of the birth of a new year. It was only a few days ago that we celebrated the birth of a new baby. Not just any baby, but the baby Jesus, who was born of the Holy Spirit, a newborn who came in such an unusual way, brought to Bethlehem by Mary and Joseph to satisfy the requirements of the census, but was left no place to sleep except in someone's barn. Today, that would be like having a young couple sleep in your garage, even though the woman was obviously about to give birth. And yet we're told that this birth was special enough for angels to announce it to shepherds out in the field. And after the shepherds went and saw the young couple and saw the baby, they got so excited, they had to go out and they're telling other people. They go back to the fields, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. Now, that was a few days ago. Today, we are reminded that 8 days later, as was the Jewish custom, the boy child was circumcised and named. It's interesting to note that this is done on the eighth day. I read a synopsis recently that got my interest. To go back a bit, I mean way back, like to Genesis chapter 1. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. On the second day, God separated the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. And there were things God did on the third and the fourth day, etc. On the sixth day, God made man. On the seventh day, God rested. Nothing's mentioned about any further days of creation, but it's interesting that God placed a symbolic ceremony on the eighth day of a newborn. And Luke remembered to write that into his writings. This is not the eighth day of a creation we're talking about, of course, but this is the eighth day of the incarnation of Jesus, our God and Lord. 8 days after Jesus was born, he was circumcised and named. It just so happens that this day falls on about the same day that America celebrates a new year. I like that. Ironically, these 2 days do have a few similarities. No, there wasn't a parade on the day he was circumcised, and there were no college bowl games on the plains of Jerusalem. But nonetheless, there are a few similarities. The eighth day was like New Year's Day in that it was the completion of something old. Usually, when a new year begins, people like to think of and show the highlights of the year before. Just recently, the news media made their judgments on what they thought were the most memorable events in 2018. There's a whole skew of them, but some of them to share with you. North and South Korea vowed to formally end the Korean War. Cuba announced a new president, ending the 59-year Castro leadership. Iraq had its first parliamentary elections since the defeat of ISIS in the country. And Mexico is selling its $218.7 million presidential plane to use funds for poor communities. Just four of the things that happened this past year. That's good stuff. Good stuff. So we will pay our final respects to the events of 2018 and we move on. Hello, 2019. When Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day, God was closing the book on something old. Not something that was done just for the last year, but something that was done for approximately 1,500 years. Back in Genesis, again, God had told Abraham, had taken him outside and said to him, "Look up into the heaven and count the stars if you can count them." And he said, "So shall your offspring be." Later on, he said to Abraham, "This is my covenant with you and your descendants, all of those descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised." Along with the circumcision was the naming of the child. So Mary and Joseph made sure that this law was fulfilled, as, you know, as others did. But the naming of the child is a part of this, and it's an ancient Hebrew culture that was ceremonial, particularly if the child was the firstborn male child. After 8 days, the child was circumcised and given his name. Then the family traveled to the temple in Jerusalem to dedicate the child to God and to give an offering of thanks for God's blessing. The name was given to Jesus. It was not chosen by Mary and Joseph. His name was chosen by God and told to them before the baby was born. The significance of God's choice is evident in the name. In the Gospels, he is called Jesus, but that is the Greek form of his Hebrew name. The Gospels were written in Greek because that was the literary language at that time. The Hebrew name for Jesus is Joshua, more properly pronounced Yeshua, which means the Lord saves, or simply Savior. Similarly, the word Christ is a Greek translation of the Hebrew word Mashiach, which means anointed one or Messiah. As early as the first century, Jesus was called Joshua Mashiach or Jesus Christ. We commonly refer to Jesus as Jesus Christ. If you were to call him by his Hebrew name, it would be Yeshua Mashiach. In either language, it means Savior, the Anointed One. The significance of his name was understood by his early disciples and followers. His name meant that he was anointed by God to bring salvation to the Hebrew people. His name, Joshua, was more than a reference to the ancient hero Joshua, the one who led the Hebrew people into the Promised Land. His name meant that he would save the people again, but not with military might. The Israelites were looking for a Messiah to bring a military-type salvation, one who would do battle and win against the Roman Empire. But this Joshua would save the people by restoring them to the covenant between God and God's people, the covenant made with Abraham by God. Joshua Mashiach was the anointed one sent by God to lead the people into a new salvation, leading them into a renewed spiritual relationship with God, free from oppressive religion. What God's angels told Mary and Joseph to name, when he told them to name the child Joshua, it's understood God had a special plan. We read this morning that God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. A new salvation leading to a renewed spiritual relationship with God. We're going into a new year. Whatever 2018 meant to you, you can enter 2019 with hope, peace, and a clear purpose. One of the biggest areas of need we have in life are in our relationships. The University of Minnesota has done research in the area of taking charge of our health and well-being. They have found that a major part of healthy living is in our personal relationships. According to their research, they have found that healthy relationships can help us live longer, deal with stress easier, be healthier, and feel richer. If healthy relationships with others can help us in these areas, imagine what a healthy spiritual relationship with God would do for us. Paul and Timothy wrote to the Philippians just what we need for entering our future. An example set before us when they said, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Instead, as a human, Jesus was obedient to God and he served others. What a most excellent example to follow. So, here's a thought. Why don't we use this as an example as individuals and as a church family? Why don't we enter the new year, 2019, glorifying and praising God just as the shepherds did, and enjoy a renewed spiritual relationship with him? Can you imagine how that might just allow us to live longer, deal with stress easier, be healthier, and feel richer? But be careful. It might just encourage us to serve and have better relationships with other people, those around us. Oh, there's a New Year's resolution for you.